Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for a living.
Hallelujah. I want to talk to you this morning. We're starting a new series entitled Unstuck. How many is ready to get unstuck? There are some things the next few weeks that I want to talk to you about. And I'm believing. I really believe that there are some people, there are families that are in a stuck situation. And I believe that God's going to help us get out of that. In the Gospel of St. John, chapter 21. Gospel of St. John. Chapter 21. The first thing we want to talk about this morning is getting unstuck in our faith. Getting unstuck in our faith. Now I want to relay a story that I read. But it was a story about a youth pastor who took some kids down the rapids in Tennessee. And in doing so, he and one other guy had the small girls in his raft. And they got wedged between two rocks. But to God be the glory, the people who ran the rafting camp understood that people are going to get stuck. And they had run, I don't even know what you call them, but they had run ropes and things across the river so that they could propel over to where they are and help them get out. And so the story goes that the one guy, the girls started crying because they were stuck and some water was coming into the raft. And the girls were crying and the one pastor looked at the girls and said, "Everything's going to be okay. I know it doesn't look good right now and I know we're stuck right now, but everything's going to be okay." And they cried a little bit longer. And he again said, "Everything is going to be okay. We're going to get out of this. It's just something that we're going through, but it's going to be okay." He said this three or four times. And then to the guy who was telling the story, he leaned over to him and whispered into his ear, "It is going to be okay, isn't it?" And sometimes we just need somebody to tell us it's going to be okay. Sometimes we need some assurance to tell us it's going to be okay. But here's what happened, that the people who were running the rapids, the ride, they came repelled, and he began to hear sounds from the sky that the guys had repelled over, and he started telling them to paddle backwards, to get out of this, to go back from where you came. Lean a certain way and get out of there. But he had to trust somebody that he didn't know. His first inclination was he wanted to push through it. But what had to happen is he had to quit struggling to get through and take a step back. And I think sometimes today there is a tendency, if you're a fighter like me, or especially if you're a man like me, we just declare, "Well, bless God, we'll just press through it. By God, I'll get through it. You know, I'm just going to go on through it and we'll get there." But sometimes you got to take a step back in order to get through the areas where you've been stuck. All right? In the Gospel of St. John, chapter 21. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, he showed himself. Here's the way he did it. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Canaan in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and the two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We're going to go with you." They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any bread or any food?" And they answered him, "No." "No, we hadn't caught a thing." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said, "Peter, it is the Lord." Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have just caught." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, God, that you know exactly where we are when we feel hopeless, when we feel stuck, when we feel that at a place that we don't know what to do. You're always with a plan. You're never without a plan. You're never without vision. You're never without a way of escape when there seemeth to be no way of escape. We give you praise, glory, and honor in the name of Jesus. And the church said, amen. Now let me ask you this question. I just told you of a story, related to you a story of somebody who's been stuck. Have you ever been stuck before? If you're a redneck and you've never been stuck before, then you're not a true redneck. Reminds me of the redneck church that they went to, and he asked the pastor, he said, "Pastor, when I die, would you bury me in my four-wheel drive pickup truck?" And they said, "Well, I don't know if we can do that. Why do you want to be buried in your four-wheel drive pickup truck?" He said, "Because I've never been in a hole that that truck couldn't get me out of." So that's for you rednecks today. Sometimes we all get stuck. And I bet you've been stuck before too. In fact, I could talk to you about back in 1985, 100 years ago, when I just quit my job. I had just quit my job, matter of fact, to go on the road with Tiffany's parents. Hadn't been saved long. And I had just quit my job. Well, I had worked out my 2 weeks' notice. And on the last day, my last day on the job, I went home and her dad called me and said, "Ronnie, we've got a problem." He said, "Your sister Ann is sick and they believe she has lupus. And we have canceled the next year of revivals. And so we're not going to have any income. And so therefore, we're not going to be able to use you. I hope you didn't quit your job yet." Brother, you're a day late. And so I felt stuck. What am I going to do? Well, my first inclination, because I, like everyone should, left the job in good standing, and they told me anytime I wanted to come back, I could. And so my first inclination was to go back to what I knew was safe. Oh, my Lord, God's helping me. To go back to what I knew I could do, because I was engaged to Sherry. And listen, let me tell you something, guys. Women don't care if you got two Holy Ghosts. If you don't have a J-O-B, they ain't wanting to get married. Yeah. So I decided that I was praying. I didn't know what to do. I felt stuck. I didn't know what to do. And so God began to help me. So I could tell you about that time that I felt stuck. But that was 30 years ago. I could tell you the time while I was the pastor of this church that I started questioning my call. I could. Now, I'm going to get very transparent with you and a little vulnerable today. I could tell you this because I'm through this now and I can talk to you about it. But I remember a time probably 15 years ago that I felt stuck because I was the pastor of the church and I was 29 years old. And I began to ask myself the question, do I want to do this for the rest of my life? I began to think, man, I've got to come up with 3 messages a week. It's 1 book. How am I going to do that? 3 messages a week, it's 1 book. I've read the book several times already. And I begin to question whether or not I was called to pastor, or was it just a phase that I was going through. I was stuck. I begin to question, is what I'm preaching actually truth, or is it something that I was brought up believing? Let's just go ahead and get real, right? Because I know that some people think pastors never go through that. But I went through my own stuck time. I went through my own stuck period. And I wish I could tell you that it lasted for a Sunday and it was over with. Because I came to church and somebody laid hands on me and woo, everything. No, it lasted for about 6 to 8 months that I continued to do what I knew to do. Oh, are you hearing me? I continued to do what I knew to do until I got through what I was going through. Now, here we go. I don't have the time to tell you this, but there were and are still times today that I still sometimes feel stuck. The truth is, we all feel stuck from time to time. If we're honest, stuck. I want to talk to you in the next few weeks about becoming unstuck. Because sometimes we get stuck in our careers. You get stuck in, don't point at nobody, but sometimes you feel like you're stuck in a dead marriage. Sometimes you feel stuck in dead friendships and dead relationships. You feel stuck and you don't know what to do. Well, I want to talk to you about it. We're going to talk about it. Maybe this is the first time you've been here to church. Maybe you feel stuck. Maybe that you came to church to see if you could get unstuck. Or maybe you come to church on a regular basis, but you still, as I did at one point in time, feel stuck in your faith. And you're just not sure. And you're just going through the motions. And you feel stuck. But I've come by to tell you that there is a way to be unstuck. And God wants to get you unstuck because God specializes in getting you and I unstuck. I'm here. I'm stuck, I'm there. I'm stuck in a dead-end job. But God loves to get us unstuck. In fact, that's really the story of Easter, is getting us unstuck. In fact, that's the story of Easter, because Jesus came to the earth. He died to get us unstuck from our situation. But you know what happened? They thought that they could stick Jesus in a hole and put a boulder over it and keep him stuck there in between. But he rose up on the third day and became unstuck. And therefore the same power that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead is the same power that raises you and I from being stuck. Can you say amen? The same power that is available, that was available to Jesus, is the same power that is available to you and I. You and I also have the power through Jesus Christ to become unstuck. The Bible is full of stories about people who became stuck, but then God came in and brought them out and caused them to be unstuck. You see, church, how about the disciples? That they had left their jobs, that they had left what they knew to follow this man Jesus who said that I'm going to rebuild the kingdom in 3 days. And here they are, they're following him and they see him die on a cross. Now what are we going to do? Here we are, we've left home, we've left jobs, we've done all this, but now what are we going to do? Now we feel stuck because what are we going to do? We have put ourselves out here on a line. Oh, Peter. Thank God for Peter. I love Peter. You know why? Because he kind of reminds me of myself. Not because he walked on the water, but because he puts his foot in his mouth all the time. I love Peter because not only does he put his foot in his mouth all the time, he makes brash decisions. And he just sometimes flies off the handle. Thank God that God loves Peter. But you know what? He might go off the deep end sometimes, but he is the only one who ever did walk on water other than Jesus. He was the one who preached the sermon that 3,000 came to know Jesus at Christ at the day of Pentecost. Thank God for Peter. But you see, church, Peter was a fisherman before he became a follower of Jesus. He made a brass decision, to leave his nets and to follow Jesus. Once in John 13, Jesus said, one of you is going to deny me. And Peter said, well, I'll tell you one thing. It might be somebody, one of these other losers in this crowd, but I promise you it won't be me. Now, that's what he said. I'm giving you the RGR version. He said these other losers might abandon you. The other losers might not stick with you. But me, oh, man, we're BFFs. Don't you know I put it on our Facebook page? We're BFFs forever. We're soulmates. I'll never leave you, Lord. And then the very night that they came to get Jesus and they took him away, that he denied him three times. But you know what? At that moment, you will recall Jesus gave Peter a nickname when he said, all these other losers may forget you, but I won't. Jesus gave him a nickname and called him the Rock. He said, upon this rock, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Aren't you glad that God speaks to your potential and not to where you are? He speaks to your future potential. He speaks to you. You know, sometimes God may call you a man or woman of God. It might not mean that you're there now, but you're going there. It means that he's calling you from tomorrow. He's calling you into the fulfillment of what he prophesied over your life. But then Peter finds himself. Peter became the rock. And Peter the rock was the person that Jesus said, Peter, it is your profession of faith that I am the Lord, and that's where I'll build my church. And there, then Peter finds himself, and the night where he was arrested, that this rock had forsaken everything and had denied Jesus Christ. Now then we don't really know where he's at when Jesus dies on the cross, but he's deserted Jesus. He's somewhere hiding. And just right after the death of Jesus, Peter's having a what you and I might call a dark soul moment. A dark night, trying to figure out what is he going to do. I feel stuck. Can you put yourself for just a moment in his position? When you had all of these hopes and all of these dreams, matter of fact, some of you don't have to try to put yourself into that position because you've lived in that position for one reason or another. Now you just feel like you're not sure what's going to happen next. But Peter gets up, and according to our text, here's what he says. He says, well, I'm going to go fishing. He gets up on Sunday morning and he goes back to his old ways. He decides that, you know what? I put my trust in Jesus. It didn't work. So I'm going to take responsibility for my life. And Peter goes back to what he knows. He goes back to fishing. And the power of the resurrection says that Christ was raised from the dead. And so you and I can get unstuck. So we've got to understand this. That if God did it for Peter, that God will do it for you. If the power of the Holy Ghost was enough to get Jesus out of a jam, it's enough to get you and I out of a jam. If it was enough to cause Peter to get hope back into his life, it is the same process that you and I can get hope back in our life and stop living in a stuck life, in a stuck faith, in a stuck position, being stuck all the time, because God wants to free you. Oh, I'm preaching better than you're amening. Now we pick up the story right there. Because Peter said, I tried this church thing. Peter said, I tried this Jesus thing and it didn't work. So I'm going back to what I know. I'm going to take responsibility. I'm going to take my life back. And he goes back to what he knows. Now hear me. And the Bible said they fished all night but caught nothing. Because the season of his life had changed. And where he once found victory and he found success, he's finding no success because his season had changed. He once was a successful fisherman, but now here he is, not able to do so. See, church, the rock had turned to sand, but it was about once again to be turned back into a rock. Such is the power of the resurrection. The power of the resurrection says that Christ was raised from the dead, and so you and I can get unstuck. The resurrection says the same power that raised Christ from the dead 2,000 years ago is still available to you and I. Romans chapter 6 verse number 4 says, "And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live in new lives." Let me encourage you. That's my introduction. Let me encourage you to take some notes. Because here's the deal. If you have never been stuck, it means you haven't lived long enough. Because if you haven't been stuck, there will come a day that you will become stuck. There will be situations that you will become stuck in, and you need to have some things that you can quickly get by these sticking points, if you will. And see God grow you from stuck to unstuck. Point number one is this. It's so deep. I have to admit that I'm stuck. I have to admit that I'm stuck. Sometimes we miss the forest because of the trees. You have to admit that you're stuck. Well, I'm not stuck. I just wanted to stand here for this long. I'm not stuck. I meant to do that. I wanted to check it out and see how it felt to be stuck. I'm really not stuck. Sounds simple, right? But that's where it all starts. I remember there's a small creek river in the town where I grew up called Chickasaw Creek. And we would go there and we would swim, but this one guy got the bright idea. We knew that deep, 8 or 10 feet down was real muck that you could get stuck in. Well, this one guy had the bright idea to jump off the bridge, and he did, and when he did, he sank up to his waist in muck. That wasn't the bad part. The bad part is he couldn't get unstuck. And the bad part is he drowned. The bad part is no matter how hard we tried, we couldn't get him out. And so therefore he drowned. Divers had to go down and dig him out because he had stuck so deep. See, some of us think, well, I'm stuck, so what? It's not too bad here. No, if you stay there long enough, you will drown. If you stay there long enough, you will die. If you stay there long enough, you will give up. If you stay there long enough, you will lose out with God. So, well, Pastor, though, what does this require? Well, what this requires is something very powerful. It requires humility. It requires humility. You know the first rule of when you find yourself in a hole, the first rule is stop digging. If you wonder, Pastor, well, I'm in a situation. Well, stop digging. Some of us are stuck, but we're struggling to get through, and you're struggling in the wrong direction. We have to humble ourselves, and you see, God is attracted to humility. He's attracted to it. So God loves to work in somebody's life who is humble, who's humbled himself. Let me tell you this. If you find yourself stuck, the first rule is to admit that you're stuck. If you find yourself in a hole, the first rule is to stop digging. But if you find yourself stuck, then you've got to admit, God, I'm stuck. I'm not talking about something that I just read. I'm talking about something that I've experienced. God, I'm stuck. I'll be very transparent with you. I feel like I'm coming through a stuck place. Right now, I feel like I'm coming through a stuck place. There's been some things that I've been stuck in, and I just kept on going, and God's used me, and God's done some great things, but I just feel like that I'm coming through a stuck place. I'm declaring before God that I'm coming through a stuck place. I'm coming out. I'm becoming unstuck, because here's what I recognize. I finally had to come to a realization that, God, I'm stuck. I'm not sure how I got here. I'm not sure what happened, but here's where I feel, and I can't help the way I feel, and so therefore I'm stuck, and I need you to get me out of it. I'll do my part, but God, I need you to help me. But it's hard to admit to your spouse that you're stuck. It's hard to admit to your friends that you're stuck. But I'll tell you who it's hard, especially hard to admit it. It's hard to admit it to yourself. It's sometimes even harder to admit to God that you're stuck. And we guys, See, listen, I'm the pastor, but I am 100% man. And it is tough sometimes as a man to say I'm stuck. It is tough sometimes for men to ask for help, but we're stuck. But here we have Peter finds himself in this position where he was stuck after the Lord was crucified, and he didn't want to admit it. He didn't want to go to God and say, God, I'm stuck. He didn't want to go to God and say, God, I'm stuck. And you know, so what he did? He did what any red-blooded male would do. When a red-blooded male is stuck, what do? We revert back to what we know. Or in his case, he went fishing. I don't know, sometimes fishing gives you perspective. So he went fishing. Peter said, I'm going to get myself unstuck. And that's where we have trouble. When we decide, bless God, I'm going to do it all by myself. God, if you won't help me, then fully on you, I'm going to do it myself. That's when you're in trouble. But you can't do it by yourself. He had been a fisherman before. He became a follower of Jesus Christ, so he goes back to fishing. He tried all night, stuck, throwing the nets out, bringing them in, throwing the nets out, bringing them back in. I don't know if you've ever fished that way, but it is back-breaking and it is tiring. It is a lot harder than just throwing out a rod and reel. But he's throwing out them nets and he's bringing them back in. He's throwing out those nets and he's bringing them back in. He's got blaring on the radio, I did it my way. And his way got him nowhere. His way got him nothing. Your way is not going to get you unstuck. Your way is going to get you even more stuck. You ever been there? Ever stayed up all night thinking that you'd get yourself unstuck? You'd be all alone only to find the next morning, like Peter, that you had caught nothing, that nothing changed, nothing happened. You worried about it all night, but nothing has changed. There is an alternative. There's a better way. James 4:10 says, when you bow down, there's the phrase, bow down. That's humility. And when you bow down before the Lord and then you admit your dependence on Him. Would you underline that in James 4:10? Admit your dependence on Him. Look at what He'll do. He said, I will lift you up and give you honor. What, have you ever wondered why God even allows us to get stuck in the first place? I tell you, could it be that God allows Crucifixion Fridays in our lives so that once again we could reaffirm our dependence on Him? If it wasn't for some of the bad things in our life, if it wasn't for some of the stuck times, some of us would not affirm our dependence on God. Maybe that's the only way that some of us will ever humble ourselves so that we can hear God and get God's plans into our lives. So the first thing you got to do is admit that you're stuck. Secondly, you got to do this. Number two, be open to the voice of God. Oh, Pastor, that is so elementary. Yeah, but it's so hard to do. It's one thing to know it. It's another thing to execute it. Be open to God's voice. Here's why. I've been doing this now. I've been pastoring now for 24 years. Or 23 years. The key word that you might want to write down is open. Be open to God's voice. Because a lot of people, when they get stuck, they naturally close themselves off from the voice of God. Close themselves off. How many times have you, well, I just need a little time. Well, they close themselves off. They get away from the voice of God. They get away from, I'm not talking about that the Lord pulls you away from a time of solitude, but when you are stuck and you close yourself off to the voice of God, the things of God, and the people of God. You want to be open. And then you want to be open to the right voice, which is God's voice. Whenever you get stuck, we often close ourselves off from the very people that can help us, and we get to looking at into strange places. Well, God won't talk to me, so let me go down here to the neighborhood psychic. Let me go down here and have my palm read. Let me go over there and let somebody look into their crystal ball. Or let me go over here and let me talk to unsaved people. Maybe they can give me some good advice. And we go looking for enlightenment in unenlightened people. So therefore, then we start listening to Oprah. Oh, and then we start listening to Ellen DeGeneres. I say Ellen DeGenerate. We listen to these folks on the talk shows and see if they have some news for us. Then we go to Dr. Phil. And we psychoanalyze ourselves. What we need to do is be open to the voice of God, to be open to the people of God, be open to the Word of God. That's where we need to be. You want to be open to the right people and the right voice? It's human nature to listen to the wrong places. When we get stuck, we often close ourselves off. We all have the nature inside of us that pulls us away from God. It's called that Adamic nature. It causes us to run away from God and then close our ears toward God. And you know what that's really called? It's called sinful living. And then, you know, Pastor, how do you know so much about it? Yeah, you guessed it. Been there, done that, bought the t-shirt and sent postcards. It's called sinful living. You either close off your ears to God and you begin to try to drown yourself and drown the voices and drown your sorrow in whatever. It might not be alcohol. Maybe it's work. Maybe just throw yourself into work and you just work all the time. Or you throw yourself into something. You throw yourself into a bad relationship. Whatever it might be, you close yourself off. But you've got to be open to the voice of God. The spiritual side of us, if you're a child of God, pulls us toward God. But you know what happens? So many times when people get stuck, they run from God instead of running to God. They run from God. Like I said, I've been doing this a long time. And because they do the very worst thing that they could do. They abandon church. They abandon their Christian friends. They stop reading the Word of God. And they turn to all kinds of dangerous places for help. Well, but Pastor, the church is just so full of what? What? What is the church full of? I'll tell you what it's full of. People. Struggling people. But it's also full of the anointing of God. It's also full of the blessed assurance of Jesus Christ. It's still also because He said where two or three are gathered together in My name, I will be there in the midst. I'll tell you what it's full of. It's full of hope. It's full of desire. It's full of what you need to become unstuck. So don't pull yourself away from the things of God or the people of God or the house of God. So many times we think, well, I'll just push through it. I see safety on the other side. Pushing through it in the wrong direction is the worst possible thing we could do. I'm going to say that again. Pushing through in the wrong direction is the worst possible thing we could do. Because if you're not careful, you'll become numb. You don't want to become numb. Peter's first reaction, default to his old ways. Default to his old ways. You know why? Because that's easy. I know how to do that. I might not know how to do this, but I know how to do that. I'm good at it. I know how to do that. He used to be a fisherman, so he said, I'm stuck. I don't know what else to do. He turned his face from God, and he went fishing, but then something great happened. At dawn. Thank God for dawn. At dawn, the disciples saw Jesus standing on the beach. Jesus asked them, have you caught anything? They replied, no. So from shore, Jesus said, cast your net to the right side. And I'm sure some kind of conversation had to go on in the boat. Somebody, because I know human nature, somebody in the boat had to say, who does this guy think he is? Because they didn't know it was Jesus. Who does this guy think he is? We're professionals. We've been doing this all night. And he says that we're to cast your net on the right side. He must be crazy. He doesn't know what he's talking about. I mean, who is this guy to tell us to throw our nets? Has God ever given you instruction through somebody and you go, you must be crazy? Well, what you need to do to get unstuck is just forgive those people. Are you crazy? Do you know what they did to me? Are you out of your mind? You mean you want me to be friends with the very people who hurt me? Are you stinking kidding me? You're out of your mind. Well, maybe you need to go back and make things right. You're stupid. We are professional fishermen. But maybe because they had been stuck for so long, they were finally open to hearing the voice of God. And they said, okay, we'll do it. The Bible said they couldn't draw in the net because there were so many fish in it. They went from empty nets to full nets. They went from a not catching to a catch they couldn't even bring in. They went from being stuck to being unstuck. They went from hopeless night to a hopeful morning. That's where we want to go. For the first time in days, the rock, this Peter, is given hope. And he realizes, maybe I'm not stuck for good. Maybe I can come out of this. Maybe I won't be in this position for the rest of my life. Just maybe there's hope at the end of this tunnel. Peter could have ignored the voice from shore. It would have been easy, because here's what Proverbs 14 says. There is a path before each man or person that seems right, but it ends or leads to death. I'm stuck and I need to hear from you, God. But look at what he says in Isaiah 55 and 8. My thoughts are completely different from yours, says the Lord. My ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. What is God trying to say to you today? What's he trying to say to your situation? Is there a voice that you need to hear from? Sure, saying what to do? Is there a voice like the boys that were stuck on the rafters? Is there somebody from the sky that you need to hear from, that you need to listen to? Are you listening to the voice of God today? Maybe some of you are saying, God's saying to you, I brought you here today because you need to trust me for the first time. Maybe he's saying to some of you, you know what? You were once on the right path. But you've gotten off track over the last few months or the last few years or the last few weeks or the last few days. And I just brought you here today to get you back on the right track. Today's your day of surrender. So get back on the right track. Point number three, and I'm closing. So what are we going to do? You got to admit that you're stuck. You got to be open to the voice of God. And number three, you got to commit to God's plan. Commit. You see, you admit, you listen, then you commit. You know what commit means? You obey. You obey. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience is better than sacrifice. To get unstuck, you can't just admit. I'll never forget the pastor of this church. No, it wasn't. I'll never forget the time. I was at camp meeting in 1993. I don't believe I was the pastor of this church at the time. And I felt that I was stuck. And I'll never forget, Loran Livingston preached a message at camp meeting that he was in a stuck place. And God told him he was at a hotel. He was preaching each night, but still in a stuck place. And he said, one morning, the Lord spoke. He said, I heard the voice of God say, give your maid, the woman that was coming in to make the room, give your maid everything that's in your pocket. He said, I reached to my hand, he said, I had, a couple hundred dollars in it. He said, because I was traveling. He said, I just grabbed my wad of money, and I went to her, and she didn't speak much English, but she understood me when he says, are you allowed to have tips? And she said, oh yeah. So she said, he gave her the money, And he turned around and walked back in. And by the time he got back in the door of the hotel, he said it began to break. He felt the shifting coming in. He felt a little movement. He felt that he was becoming unstuck. It wasn't the money. It was the obedience to the voice of God. If you want to get unstuck, you've got to obey the voice of God. You've got to admit that you're stuck. You've got to be open to the voice of God. But then you've got to commit to the plan. You got to do something with what God's told you to do. You can't just hear and go, oh, that's great. You got to do something with what God's told you to do. I've never forgot it. It's obedience. To get unstuck, you can't just commit. Okay, God, I'm stuck. That's not enough. You can't just listen. Okay, God, I hear you. You have to take action in order to get unstuck. So let's go back to Peter's story. Let's see how Peter committed. Because if there's one thing about Peter that's good, and that means that buddy, that joker can commit. He makes big commitments. And he shows it right here in John 21. So the nets have come up. They're full of fish. And then here's what happened in verse 7. Then the disciple who loved Jesus said, told John, it is the Lord. And Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord. He put his tunic on because he had stripped for work. I just want y'all to know, if y'all go fishing with me, you're going to keep your clothes on. I don't understand why my man had his clothes off fishing. Whatever. But Peter is fishing naked. So before he decides to run to shore to be with the resurrected Jesus, he puts on some clothes. And let me just say, I thank all of you for putting on clothes before you came to church this morning. But he doesn't allow that to slow him down. He makes the commitment. He just jumps right into the water. He just jumps right into the water. Now, my brother Randy, he tells me that I remind him of Peter, and that he reminds, he says, you know, when I think about being you, Ronnie, he said, I think about you as being Peter and me as being John. I said, you mean John the beloved? John, the one that Jesus loved. And me being the loud mouth. He said, yeah, pretty much. I said, yeah, pretty much sums it up. Because here's what he would say. He said, remember, Ronnie, when we used to go to the creek? He said, I would go down there and I would put my toe in it and get it a little eased into it. And then I'd walk around in like ankle deep water. And then eventually I'd go to knee, and eventually I'd go to waist. And then eventually I'd ease out in it. He said, but I can remember when me and you would go to the creek. He said, when you saw the water, you didn't just walk to the water. You begin to run. And he says, you would jump off the cliff and just go into the water. He said, I was thinking, oh, he's going to kill himself. He's going to kill himself. He said, you didn't play it safe. When you committed, you committed. And church, I want you to know that that's not a bad thing. That God is looking for some people to truly commit, to obey the voice of God. Peter said, bless God, I see my hope. Bless God, I see my agent that causes me to become unstuck. And I'm going to where it is. So he dives into the water and comes to where Jesus is. Peter commits. Peter doesn't do anything half-heartedly. The one he thought had deserted him was now on the shore cooking breakfast. He went from empty nets to a full stomach. From helpless to hopeful. From being separated from God to being saved in the boat to having breakfast with God sitting on the shore. That's the process of becoming unstuck. That's the power of the resurrection. That's what living for God is all about. Unstuck. It's the only way to live. Jeremiah 29:11 captures it. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. The plans for good, not for getting stuck. I added the getting stuck. To give you a future, to give you a hope. And that leads us to our working definition. Let me give this to you. Oh my Lord, I went long. Our working definition of unstuck. If you want to jot this down for those who like doing these kind of things. Unstuck is simply moving forward in my life because I'm willing to give God complete control. Moving forward in my life because I'm willing to give God complete control. Now, everybody seated in this place today, You're in one of three categories right now. Doesn't matter who you are, your first time, third time, everybody in here, you're in one of three categories. Number one is this. God and the cross is outside of your life. That's somebody, and I'm just going to say it, the colloquialism, whatever, that we would consider that person unsaved. You sit at the seat of control, or you are the king of your own life. When you are the king of your own life, the king is responsible for the provision and protection of a kingdom. Remind me to fix that, Robert. You're responsible for the provision and the protection of a kingdom. So all of life's challenges are on you if you're king. If you're seated at the seat of control, then you are responsible for it all. Secondly, you're still on the throne or at the seat of control, but at least the cross and God is inside of your life, but it's not where it should be. That's the second category. You're in one of three. You're either in the first one or you're in the second one. God is in your life, but God is not in the throne of your life. What needs to happen is you need to surrender it all. Maybe you're saved. Maybe you're a child of God. But you know that God is not seated at the seat of control. And then the third area, the third category. God is seated where he should be, at the seat of control, and is king of your life. That's where we're destined for. That's where we're headed for. That's where we want to get to. Because let's be honest with ourselves. If you need to get unstuck, then it's time today. It's time to call on God. It's time to call on God. Allow him to take full control of your life. Full control of your schedule. Full control of your relationship. Full control of our family and our finances. Full control. And certainly, full control of our future. Would you bow your heads with me this morning?
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. and again in the evening at 6 p.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.